Great Heavenly Father, we know that it was your presence that came to the prophet, where he saw you that day mirrored in the imagery of three great beautiful rainbows. When it was said, Jehovah the old is Jesus of the new, and there, Lord, in that hour you gave him the authority to declare the word, what he would say would come to pass, and an act of creation came into being at that time. So we know, Lord, that this is that hour that all things are possible now that you're here, just the same exactly when Martha and Mary stood at the graveside of Lazarus and said she was so happy to know that he was there, and she, Martha, said to you, well, even now, Lord, we know that something wonderful can happen. And you said, I am the resurrection and life, and he that believeth in me, though he did, yet shall live. Who shall live and believe in me should never perish. Do you believe this? And she said, yea, Lord, I know. That's right. And he came forth from a rotted condition into resurrection, Lord. So we know we're in that final hour this day, and we are very happy, Lord, to know that you have spoken to us. And may we so esteem you, Lord, your presence and your word, your way and your doings, that we will live for you as you never lived previously, and we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're going to continue a little while tonight in the unveiling of God. And just for a little sort of a recap, the major principle in this message of the unveiling of God is that God uses different forms to manifest or reveal himself to the people. He uses different forms. And Brother Branham brought up the pillar of fire. He brought up the fact of a whirlwind and the earthquake. And, of course, the used a human form, also used angelic form, no doubt. So the major principle, then, in this message of unveiling God is to let us know most assuredly that God uses different forms that fit the occasion, fit his purpose to reveal himself to the people. And the subject matter, as I see it, having read it and gone into it by myself, is not meant to give us a definite in-depth revelation of his person so much as it is meant to show us how he is revealed, that's how he's revealed, and to accept and believe that revelation whether our understanding is perfect or not. Now, you know, no matter how much one ever apprehends concerning God himself, there'll always be a mystery. There's no one can explain it perfectly. I don't know how far Brother Branham himself went, but he said he knew what he was saying, whether we understood it or not. And the ability to project or to give the understanding doesn't reside, of course, in the prophet as much as resides in God, who would give that understanding. Then how much understanding you and I have would again depend on perhaps our capacity. And I don't see here in this message where Brother Branham is to the utmost definitive in his preaching concerning Godhead himself. But he's giving us a revelation, of course, that is suitable to us. Now, so it's not how perfectly we understand, but more that we receive it as God himself being revealed to us. Now, according to his own desires and ways. Now, what I'm saying there is, if you're convinced that God is being revealed to you according to his own desires and ways, according to this hour, that's what you really are open to receive and should receive, that it's God being revealed. Now, as I say, you might not catch it all. It might be difficult, but that's all right. The big thing is that you know that in this hour, God is being revealed. See, that's the thing that counts. And, of course, Brother Branham said that this God is Jehovah of the Old Testament, and he's the Jesus of the New. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So consequently, what he is essentially and how he is revealed is always the same. Now, there again, you understand that in dealing with us, God himself doesn't change. That's essentially, basically, what he is. He's spirit. Attributes lie within him, all the attributes. And the way he is revealed does not change. Now, of course, that's a stumbling block to many people. Basically, the prophet is the revealer that never changes. God revealing himself and using the prophet is Hebrews 13 and 8. You'll find that more and more as we go along. All right. On page 8, in paragraph 49, notice Jehovah, the Old Testament, Jesus, the New Testament. See? He's the same God, just changing his form. Now, that's the message of grace, Brother Branham saw the three rainbows. Now, someone said the other day, a Baptist minister out in Tucson, how can you say that Jesus and God would be the same person? I said, well, it's very easy if you just let your own thinking get away and think the Bible terms of it. They are the self-same being. God is a spirit. Jesus is the body that he was veiled in. Now, that's really very, very basically true. You wouldn't get a better definition. God is a spirit, and Jesus is the body he was veiled in. See, I said, like in my home to my wife, I am her husband. And I have a young daughter, Rebecca, I am her father. And I have a grandson, his name is Paul, I'm his grandfather. I'm husband, father, and grandfather. And that's exactly true. And my wife has no claims on me as father or grandfather. She has claims on me alone as husband. My daughter has no claims on me as husband or grandfather. She is my child, see? But yet all these three persons is the same person, see? And he explains, that's God. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is just the dispensation claim. Now, you notice that actually he's all three at the same time, though he doesn't need to manifest each office or each attribute. It's just like Brother Bannon expresses himself. He said, I'm husband, and I'm father, and I'm grandfather. And let's face it, he's perfectly that, and there's no change there. And he can't get away from being that either. There's no way he could annul it, because that's what he was. Yet he didn't manifest all those positions except as it was warranted. Dispensation claim. Now, Brother Branham was a dispensationalist, but he wasn't one of those that was dispensationalist like, you know, Larkin. In the beginning, they had innocence, and then they had conscience, and then they had human government, and then they had law and everything like that. That's a lot of hogwash. There's three dispensations, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And then you got to know the scripture to place them correctly, which would only be revealed to you correctly through a prophet. All right, God is the same God. God changed himself, changes his form. Now notice that the phrase there, there's two phrases. God changed himself, changes his form. So what he's doing in changes his form, he's explaining what he said when he said God changed himself, because God cannot change himself. He remains essentially the same. Now he's talking about revelation. See, God revealed, and in revelation comes these various forms that are dispensational. If you notice here in Philippians, he said, not thinking it robbery, took the form of a man. Now, taking the form of a man, he's talking about a change here. You gotta watch, because this is not some mythological wizardry where the wizard can turn into a cat, you know, or a mouse, or a horse, or a dog, or something. That's not that at all. You know, that's mythological foolishness. Then God doesn't change. What he does, he just simply puts a robe on. So when he took the form of a man, he robed himself in a human body. Whereas previously he was in a pillar of fire or a whirlwind or light, whatever what. Now the Greek word for that form, I've been looking at all yesterday trying to think what it was, I find, come with this word, with the word anmorpha. It's spelled E-N-M-O-R-P-H-E. Looking in the Greek to find out what anmorpha was, I may pronounce that wrong, but reason I spell it, when the tape is released, the people will, that scholars will know what I mean by it. He, that means that he changed himself. He came down. Now, the Greek word there means that, now listen carefully, that something that could not be seen, yet it was there, then it's changed, and the eye can catch it. Now, what is the change? The change is not in the thing itself. The change is in whether it can now be seen or not seen.
So something happens around what is there, so you can know from what is around, that's the not the atmosphere, but the environment, and the conditions around it. You can know that what then is behind it, because something's got to catch your eye. See, the eye can catch it. So, and evidently there's something there that you can't see. I cannot catch it. And, you know it's there. And then pretty soon there comes the evidence that that which was not visible is really there. There's some type of visibility or sensual way that by your senses you can apprehend it. Like, now this illustration here is a little different from this up above it. He's going to talk about Elisha and Dothan. Elisha was at Dothan. See, the serpent couldn't see all those angels around there. And God just changed. Not brought the angels down. Well, how did God change? But God changed the seeing of the servant. Now, it doesn't say there that he changed the objects, but he changed the seeing. In other words, he gave this one perception such as like a vision. He allowed him to look into an area that the human eye cannot look into. The speed of vibration is too fast. So you can't see light. Yet angels are light. That is a type. So they have a very high type of vibration. Well, he was given the gift of God. The eye was speeded up, evidently. That's like they say Ted Williams had the fastest eye in baseball. I still think he's the greatest of the works myself. He could see a ball that since when it left the pitcher's hand just about to where it came right where he was going to hit it. He could. Other people, they have an eye span that goes zap, zap, zap. I guess his just was fantastic. Well, that's what you're looking at. You're looking at this man here was given something in the realm beyond mankind. Like animals can hear noises at a higher decibel than we can. And of course then there's noises of speeds of vibration far beyond animals. But this is what happened here. You see the change. He changed, and he said the mountain's full of angels and fire and horses of fire and chariots of fire all around his prophet. See, he changed the seeing. The thing is already there. So he's letting you know two different ways how that you can get a contact here. It'll help your physical because you're not in the realm of the spirit. You know what I mean? Purely spirit. Now, back in Adam's day when before he had a robe of flesh on, I imagine this was, you know, this is just every day, you know. So that what I'm trying to say, that God that always was is here. Now, letting you know that you can't see him, but he's here. And when God begins to operate through the role and what he's chosen to reveal himself in and through, you can know that he's here now. Follow me? The only thing he did when he became man, he changed his mask. Now, he's talking about today, see, too. This is on Morpha. He changed himself to what he was, to what he is, or his mask, another act. So you see, though the words are disjointed, he's still very clear that God per se has not changed. No way, shape, and form. It's just that he's surrounded himself in such a way that now he can begin to project in the manner that he wants to project in. So nothing happened to God per se. But the office requires an action, perhaps a different action from previously, though the same God. Now, Brother Branham goes on, like a great drama. Here's where he gets right into the technical part. As I was speaking this morning, kind of catching up on this Shakespeare, it's been a long time, but when Shakespeare wrote the drama for the King of England with the character Macbeth, see, Shakespeare did not believe in witches in the play, but the king did believe in witches, so Shakespeare had to include witches, see? Now, in order to do this, they changed the cast. Becky here and Carmen, you're going to illustrate now about Macbeth by using Carmen. Becky here and Carmen, they acted that in the school where she just graduated a few weeks ago. That girl's going on 40, isn't she? Now, maybe one person played three or four parts. In order to do that, he changed his mask. Sometimes he came out as this character. Next time he came out, he's another character. But it's the same person all the time. In other words, doing the things that fit the role and being in the what you might call the description of the role. You know, you'd hardly have a Salome come out dressed in cowboy boots and a big hat and chaps and spurs. She has seven veils, right? Well, you know what I mean. You couldn't, the character, the everything must be in the role. See, now you get, let your minds go and begin to see this hour in which you're living, the appearing of the Son of Man, Christ appearing, that the Lord Himself shall descend. Remember the show, that's the appearing. Right on down here now, and we're right in the midst of what is going on, and this is an elucidation or a description, so we enter into the what's going on with the Lord present. And there's got to be a mask, there's got to be something in here that reveals it. That's why I said a while ago, the subject matter to me in this message is not the in-depth revelation of Him, but it's how it comes, and you've been seeing the real thing, believe it. In other words, get in or get out. See? Now, let's see how we get in or get out. See, that's what we want to look at. See, are you on Bible ground? Are we on Bible ground being the people we're being? Well, we better be. Now, it's the same person all the time. That's God. He changed Himself from a pillar of fire to become a man. Then changed Himself from that back in the Spirit again, that He might dwell in man. God acting in man what He really was. Now this is back to God in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was God acting in a man. Now He tells you what the complex was, Jesus Christ. Who was He? God acting in a man. That's what He tells you. Now acting in man. In a man. That's what He was. He changed from the pillar of fire, because He changed His robe, didn't He? And then had come in, which was a veil in the wilderness that hid God from Israel. And that pillar of fire was with Israel. And who is in the pillar of fire? God is in the pillar of fire. Moses saw the shape of His body, but really He was hidden all the time behind His pillar of fire, which was the Logos that went out from God. Well, that's not too hard to understand. Whatever came up in God, God just used it into a form, and God could be in that. Because what else would God do but produce from God Himself that very form? Okay, now we find here now, since Pentecost, God is not acting in man, now He's acting through man. Now you gotta watch that one. Because when you're talking about that, you're not talking about everybody who is born again, you're talking about the prophet. See, He was acting in a man, then Jesus. Now He's acting through man that He has chosen for this purpose. Now, you see, we're talking about revealing. We're talking about a mask. Now, look, you don't just grab this and say, hallelujah, that's the body. That's a lot of hogwash. It's not the body. This is a certain individual in the body. So you got to watch that. You don't ever, anybody kid you, there's a group revelation. A group revelation is no revelation. It's a muddle. Remember, the African prime minister said the truth. He said, if Moses had been a committee, the children of Israel would still be in Egypt. Now, there's no such thing as two people sitting down and ever getting a revelation. Now, you might compare notes. You can both be dead wrong. Now, He's acting through man that He has chosen for this purpose. What purpose? To be a mask and a revealer. God in the form of man, He changed Himself from the form of God to a form of man. Well, what's the form of God? Spirit. What's the form of man? Flesh. Okay? Spirit's invisible. Flesh is visible. So God gets a visibility through flesh. Now let's go a little further. He's working His case up. He came in three names, three sons' names. He came in the name of the Son of Man, the Son of David, and the Son of God, three sons' names. Now that's we must know that. Because this has to do with the mask. This has to do with the revelation. Has to do with the role, position. Now, He came first in the name of the Son of a Son of Man, because He was a prophet. Now there you are. Anytime there's anything to do with Son of Man, prophet. Now you move from that, you blow it. Now come on, you move from there, you blow it. You've lost your revelation. You're not following God. He's no longer Hebrews 13 and 8 to you. Now you're in pretty sad condition. Now you say, just a minute, brother. No, don't just a minute. You watch me come along here, see. Now Jehovah called Ezekiel the prophet, son of man. What's he a stop? Jesus never referred to Himself as son of God. Now it's true he never did, but he did. Now, when he referred to himself as Son of God, he was placing his identity that God was his Father, and he came by virgin birth. Now, there are places where he called himself the Son of God. And they hated it, because in the Wiest translation, he called himself Wiest. That's the doctor, Wiest called himself Wiest. That sounds better. I guess they don't call it a Freihoff, they call it a Freihoff. So any man, you want to pronounce him anyway you feel like it, it's okay. But this doctor Wiest anyway, he liked to call himself, he said that in his expanded translation, that Jesus was hated because he referred to God as his Father in a way which God was not the Father to anybody else. Nobody else had God as the Father like Jesus had. That's true. See? Jesus never referred himself as Son of God, which Brother Branham means across the board he did not. He referred to himself as Son of Man, which was across the board. That was the title. He went by all the time, reading. Because the Scriptures cannot be broken. Now watch his little statement. The Scripture cannot be broken. Now, he had to call himself the Son of Man. There can be nothing broken in the Scripture. Every word must be so. Every word must be so. That's the way I believe it. That's the way it's got to be, not because I believe it, but because it's the Word of God. Now remember, Deuteronomy 18, Moses said Jesus would be a prophet, the Messiah would be a prophet. Alright, that's Son of Man. Son of Man's always a prophet. Prophet's always Son of Man. Now that's a simple thing, and our theologians don't like it. Well, we don't like the theologians, what they like anyway. I don't like their breakfast cereal, I like my own. Because it's just like a bunch of puff wheat. All puff and no wheat. We don't have a bit of puff. It's all wheat. The finest of the wheat. That the Bible tells us that. Now, if you notice it, now watch now. He talks about this changing one word. And you're going to have maybe 2 to 3 paragraphs giving you an insight of not changing the word, what it can do against you to bring you to the place of where you're getting the definitive revelation of God. You follow me? I'm coaching you ahead of time, so get you lined up. Now, if you notice in the beginning, one word, page 1 of the Bible, Genesis 1, we find out the whole, all the sickness, all sorrow, all heartache, everything ever happened to human beings, came because one person, just believe one word, caused all of this. That's the first of the Bible. And the last of the Bible, Revelation 22, the same God said, whosoever should take one word of this, or add one word, what's he telling you? It's the end time right now, and the same thing is going to happen if you don't watch out, and it has to do with Revelation, and it has to do with 3 sons' names. Now, I don't care what you're thinking, I'm telling you what I believe this prophet's saying. I'm going to prove it to you. See? Okay, one word in Genesis brought all the plagues, right? One word off will bring the plagues at the end time. So you better get your thinking lined up, not your own thoughts now, but God's thoughts by a prophet. So therefore, why just take the little thing like I'm going? Someone always going on to me about women bobbing their hair. Now to me, as long as she does that, I don't care how saintly she does, how much she knows, she's still wrong. She wears shorts and these clothes like that, I don't care what she does, how she can sing, how well she can preach, whatever she can do, what kind of life she lives, is still that one word broke, see? See, it's got to be every word, not a sentence, a word, one word. So the Bible is no private interpretation. It must be word by word the way it's written. We must believe that. And not only believe it, but live it. If we don't live it, then we don't believe it. We just say we do. Like basing back to what I said, those disciples could not explain it. Now listen, see. But they believed it anyhow, and they made their confession and lived it. Now if you don't know what's being said, how can you live it? Some of the things you do, there's no way you can live them. You live them on the very ground that you are that living word because you believe what was said. That's in your heart. And you could die for it. See, persecution always comes over revelation. That's if you're also messed up in your thinking, whether it's communism and the church. It's not. It's the church and the bride. God doesn't deal in politics. Fact. That's a separate kingdom. He said his own ministers over that garbage tin. His own kingdom he died for in the form of a human being. Shed his blood. That whole kingdom is going to get revived, restored. He doesn't lose one grain of ground even. See, God's love of the world. That's God's cosmos he loved and bled for and is going to restore, brother, sister. Anybody kid you? I'm going to wipe this other cosmos plumb off with the germs. He's going to put those flames up there 1,000 miles high and get every germ. Can't wait. Can't wait, man. I'm plagued enough with this yeast problem, all this junk I've got. I could have this burnt out right now. The Holy Ghost wants to do a good job. I'm wide open by the grace of God. Hope I am. Sure, you believe it. You live it. In other words, it's your life. When all the rest of them walked away from it, they stayed with it. What did they stay with? Eat my flesh, drink my blood. You came from above, you're down here, you're going to go back up. We believe it. You speak plainly. Hallelujah. Well, they say you're nuttier than he is. Well, we don't mind. Sink or swim, live or die, we're sold. That's where you got to be. All the other things are very good. But if you're not in that groove, it doesn't matter how nice you sing and how holy you are and how good you are and how many souls you win to Christ and all this and that. What do you win them to? Remember, Brother Branham said the seed was in Philip. Being born again of the incorruptible spora, not the corruptible stuff. I could say some things here, but I don't dare really, because I think I'd be muddled up saying them, and I'd muddle you up too, because I can't get the bottom myself. They stayed with it. It just got real staying power once you let it get root. They believed it. That's the way we do. That's the way you got to do it. No matter anybody else does, we believe it, and then we act upon it. If you don't do it, then you don't believe it. In other words, anything that lies in there that you can follow, you follow. Now, there's no way you can follow revelation to God. You follow what God's Word says when you get a revelation because you love Him. But you know what I mean. Let's get this. Now, remember, He's revealing God. Now, if He's being revealed, Hebrews 13 and 8, which is Revelation, I beg your pardon, Genesis 18, Acts 8, also right back to, we'll get it later, Revelation 10, Malachi 4, all of those things there. If you really believe that, then whatever else He says, you'll do. All right. Notice how He came. He had to come a son of man because the Holy Scripture said He would. God would raise up a prophet to them. So He could not come calling Himself the Son of God. That's across the board. Because it wasn't that dispensation. That came after the resurrection. Romans 1, right? He was the Son of Man prophesying to fulfill and revealing to them all the things that He had done. That's back at Jehovah. Doing now. Would do. Typed what He was. Then He was on earth the Son of Man. Now remember, He's Son of Man today to the Gentiles, in the form of the Spirit, right? Now, let's go back again with Brother Branham to the time on earth. Look at that Syrophoenician woman run to Him and said, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." He never so much as raised His head. She had no claims on Him as son of David. She was a Gentile. Now, we're getting to some of these things that Brother Branham said, you got to say the right word. So she said the wrong word. Now, she'd have said, "Son of man, I recognize a prophet." That would have cut some ice, right? Sure should have. She had no claims on Him as son of David. She was a Gentile. No more than my daughter has claims on me as husband. Or my wife as daughter, yet she is my daughter, and my wife, she's my daughter in the gospel. But earthly, she has no right to call me a father, see. But now notice, this Gentile woman had no claims on Him as son of David. But blind Bartimaeus did. See, he was a Jew. Now then he came as son of man. You have to know these words and these things. All right, he's talking about revealing. So no matter what you thought you saw that revealed God to the senses, there's another sense that you have to have brought into play, which is your sixth sense of faith revelation. And it'll be based on the Word. You have to know these words and these things. Notice words and things. You have to know the Bible. You have to know how the Bible works. You got to know what you're looking at. Look at Hattie right that time when the third pearl. Hold on, listen. The unveiling of God and the third pearl and the three names have a lot to do with this hour. Or you're not getting God unveiled. Now, I'm just reading what he said here. Now, you can do what you want with my understanding of what he's saying. And I'm open for criticism, but I want anybody to prove me wrong. Because I'm right. I know I'm right. I said, here, look at Hattie right that time when the third pull. And he's talking about knowing the right words concerning the unveiling, which is to give you a knowledge of all the everything. That woman said the right thing. You've got to say that right word, the right thing to God. Now, if these are not contingent and a part of each other, then the prophet is doing a great disfavor. He is mixing goose eggs and duck eggs, and we're going to get duck-a-goo or something. You can't do it. Or he'd be guilty of a breach of conduct of what we expect from a prophet. This would be even a breach of the lowest type of education, when there's no such thing as a person describing two things and then expecting to hear it, understanding what's going on. So you see, the picture is the unveiling of God. And he's letting you know that when he was in the flesh, when that woman talked to him and addressed him under a wrong son title or name, it didn't work. He just ignored her. Now, he's telling you that had he right used the right word, it brings results. And what we're trying to get across to you in very plain English is this, that this Elohim is his own prophet. And he is here, and has been here, as Son of Man. And if you don't know that, you'll not get anywhere as bride. It's impossible. Now, people say, well, Brother Bill, I think it's something else. Well, you may think all you want, but the prophet said one word. And he said, one change wrought havoc and brought the plagues. Now then, if we go off of the revelation of the Son of Man in Luke 17 and 30, there's nothing going to hit you but the plagues. Then tell me this is not important. You better have your revelation lined up. Now, this may sound very crass at this moment, but you better hang on to what I'm saying, because this is the way it is. Notice now, he came first as the prophet, and they crucified him. His own crucified him. He came as the Son of Man. And they say at this hour, he will be crucified to themselves afresh. How does he get crucified? Under prophet. He does not get crucified as Son of God. You cannot crucify the Holy Ghost. But God gave his Son to us in the form of the Holy Ghost, Son of Man dispensation, at this very moment. So there's your appearing. Are you a part of it by recognizing? Are you with those who twiddle their thumbs? Yeah, you know, he's been here all the time, this, that, all that. Come on, let's get down to the nitty-gritty where the prophet was. Let's get down to where the things are moving. Not some abstract thing you think come along and just like a revolving door. Sashay your way through, ricochet through, as Brother Branham said. If you're a bunch of billiard balls, you'll chrome off the table, sure. I'm not a billiard ball. I'm not being shot for a game. We're getting ready to get taken up. See, now, Son of God, he was the Holy Spirit. Son of God, he lived through the church ages as Son of God, dividing himself. Notice now, he came first as the prophet. Okay, we read that. Now, in the millennium, he'll be Son of David sitting on the throne of his father David. He is the Son of David. All right? You have to understand Luke 17:30, which you do. Now, you remember between the Son of God in the Laodicean church age, they put him out. And in Luke, he said that he would be revealed again as Son of Man, the prophet, fulfilling the rest of it. The prophet fulfilling the rest of it. What's it? I imagine that's Isaiah 61, I think. My memory serves me right, if it doesn't, we'll find someplace else. He read this from Luke. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord anointed me to preach the good tidings to me. To send me to bind to the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, opening his prison to them that are bound, and to proclaim the accepted year of the Lord. Okay, that's been going on for 2,000 years, and he said, and then he shut the book. And now today, he opened the book. It takes a lamb to open it because he shut it. Only he could open it because he shut it. And the day of the vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. So now you've got him here to bring vengeance, which is judge, and at the same time to comfort those that mourn, which is the bride. Because you know she's like a dove and the dove mourns. She's a dove. She's a mourning dove, and she's mourning for her lover because they're not united to this time physically, because remember, she's still a physical person. But the now in the spirit, she knows that he is here. She's seen him revealed. See? And so we have him here, vengeance and vindicating. The judgments of God are in the earth, but the bride is vindicated. Now, how is it done? He is the judge because he is the Son of Man. Now, if he's prophet, then axiomatically, he's got to be judge. Over here, that's a little different. Right there, he's everything. Here, he's specialized. But all the rest is still there. So, all right. Follow me? All right, the rest of it. The scriptures tie perfectly together. Son of man, son of God, son of David. What was it? It's the same God all the time, just changing his form on Morpha. He just changed it. It's a great drama to him. He's acting it out. All right? He came as son of man, the prophet. Did exactly. Even that little woman in all her sin there at the well, she recognized him. One little simple sign, she recognized him. See? She said, we know Messiah is coming, which is called the Christ. That's what he'll do. See? She recognized because she was a predestinated seed. Okay, what is it that gives the the people the power to recognize the seed in them? See? Then, where the rest of them didn't recognize it, they had nothing to recognize with. They were in sin to begin with. Okay? They had nothing to recognize with. What was it? Jesus said to the Pharisees, you've got no place in you for the word. So when the word struck, just ricocheted. Bunch of billiard balls. That's right. Ever see how the man comes in and breaks up all the balls in the triangle? Takes the old crew up, polishes up real good, gets ready, and takes the ball, and hard as he can, he hits that pile of balls in there. See them all scattered. Well, the Lord comes in, maybe the great master cumin comes in the odd time with a little word. Sure scatters the people. But there's always somebody going in the pocket for this, you know. They'll get in there. He'll take you, pick them up, sure. Never mind the illustration. They sound kind of corny, but they'll do for the time being. They were in sin to begin with. Unbelief. See? For his acts, he changes his form. Now, I'm telling you, for the acts that he's going to do, he changes his form. See the form he appeared in up here? Judge. Now, Brother Branham said that's a literal scientific picture of him. There he is. He said, well, I think you could just make that say anything. Well, fine dandy. We don't care what anybody says. We're convinced. You know, we got no problem. You know, they go their way, we go ours. We're going up. I wish as sure as we're alive. We're in him. Changed his form. Then he came the form of the Son of Man. All right? He was the Son of Man. Then he went to Son of God. Now, for the Reformers' age, Wesley, Luther, all down through. And then we find out they got it so bungled. He said bungled up, but I think he means bungled up. Just like Israelites did till when he does appear in the last days of Pentecostal age as the Holy Spirit, they reject it. So now he comes right down, Holy Spirit, and he's got to have a mask. Otherwise, if he's not made visible somehow, how are they going to reject? So he appears. Says he appears. I wasn't the one he said that appeared down there. I was the only one standing there. He appeared. Now just keep with me now. This is going to do you good as your life goes on in Jesus Christ. This is that simple bread and butter stuff, you know. We're not out here talking about this thing and that pretty thing and a butterfly's wings and all that. We're getting down where it is, brother, sister, tonight. This is the fooler right here. This simple stuff is what fools everybody. Yeah. Too many things to do to listen, maybe. But if you listen now, you listen carefully. They rejected it. They did the same thing Israel did. And what does he do now? Return as Son of Man, and then from that Son of David. In other words, no more Son of God, no more baptism, no more nothing. You had it. You turn this one down, it's all over. See? You get the plagues added and the tribulation and dies. Okay, now listen. And see how close we are? Son of Man, Son of David, Son of God. He's revealed in the last days as Son of Man, according to Malachi 4, all the rest of the prophecies pertaining to this hour. I start in Malachi 4 and says, all the prophecies pertaining. Now, where does he get the basic? Luke 17 and 30. In a Sodom condition. Just before the fire falls, and the Son comes in the form of true human flesh. Now, this is not true human flesh at this point. This is fulfilling prophecies under the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, to be crucified, Son of Man, prophet, finishing up what he didn't do when he opened the book. And then he closed it, now it's open again. And remember, when the book is open, it says, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. And it tells you, it's all over, which is the very same thing that Jesus said upon Calvary, it is finished. Now after the Son of Man, it's over. See? There's no way that you're going to get anything back. It's just judgment pointing. So, all right, let's go to Malachi chapter 4. Because that's what he said to do. We take our time tonight. Won't get very far, but then it's all right. Now, and behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, ye all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. Now, that's Sodom and Gomorrah when the fire hits. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, leaving you neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. That's immortality. And you shall go forth and grub as calves of the stall. And you shall tread down the wicked to be ashes on the soles of your feet in the day that I do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Now remember, God said, I'm going to do it. Not you and me. God's going to do it. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb. Now that's grace. For all Israel with the statutes and judgment. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful Lord. Now what's he talking about? Prophets. What is Son of Man? Prophet. So, okay. There's got to be a prophet at the end time. Because, now there's got to be a prophet at the end time, because remember, he's here in the form of the Holy Spirit. And so therefore, there's got to be a mask. There's got to be some way he breaks through. And God does not reveal himself to individuals that comprise a group. It's revealed to individuals in a group who have over them, by the sovereignty of God, a prophet that he could deal with. So you see what he's saying here. I send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great day of the Lord, and he shall turn the hearts of the children back to fathers, lest I come and smite you with the curse. In other words, he said, when the hearts are turned back, I will not smite at that time, but after that time I will smite when all the hearts are turned. And that's exactly Genesis 18. Will you, till the judge of all the earth, destroy the righteous with the wicked? He said, by no means, I'll not destroy one righteous with any wicked. And what was it? Judge. Prophet. See? Now you know all the typing that Brother Branham does there. All right. Now, no more dealing with the church after they put him out on the outside knocking at the door. Some predestinated seed in there yet. He must get to them. Okay, let's take one more scripture. And that's back in Revelation chapter 10. I saw another mighty messenger come down heaven, clothed with a cloud, a rainbow upon his head, and his face were the sun, feet of pillar of fire. Well, you know what that is. That's the same as Revelation 5 and 1, Revelation 1 and 12. That's that one come down. Put his right foot on land, so on. Cried a loud voice when a lion roareth, and seven thunders of the voices. And then it says down there, but in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he shall begin to sound the mystery of God, the mystery of God shall be finished as God hath declared the good news of the gospel by his servants the prophets. So it tells you the whole mystery is going to be finished with a prophet. So now you've got Malachi 4 here. I am here with my prophet. Now that's what he's saying. If he's not saying that, well, I don't know what he's saying. And personally, I wouldn't care much what he's saying. That's not what he's saying, because that's what he said all along. And a prophet cannot have two stories coming out of his mouth. Everything must run in continuity, like over 1,600 years, over 40 people gave us this word we got right here. I think it's about 40. Everything in continuity. And God in man. Now, God in what man? Not you and me. Has emptied himself. Joel 2:28. Now, we could look at this God in man has emptied himself so that no more is going to get the Holy Ghost. Or you can look in the last day here, and you can view it as a prophet. Let's go back to paragraph 59 just a second, I think it is. Now, he finds his Pentecost, God is not acting in man, he's acting through man. He was acting in man, then Jesus, now he's acting through man. Okay, God in man has emptied himself. Joel 2:28, we find out that he said, I'll pour out in the last day my spirit. Now, if you'll notice the word there, now I'm going to tell you what. To me, there's a little bit of a problem here, because I really believe that Brother Branham looked down at his notes. And he stopped his thought right there in half of paragraph 74. And I'll tell you why. Because he said, now if you notice the word there, Greek. The Old Testament is not in Greek, it's in Hebrew. So he's looking at his notes and he's going back to Philippians. So evidently that first portion of 74 belongs to 73. And he's telling you what you see in Ephesians. It runs out. So therefore, there's nothing left but the Holy Ghost himself. And he's turned down because he comes in the ministry of the Son of Man. And they can't discern, they can't take it, so therefore they address him wrong. Now, let's just stop a second here. Remember, there's a new name coming up. Brother Branham said they squall, they holler, they beat everything this way, that way, and they yell, and they can't get anywhere. Because he said the name of Jesus like it's kind of wore out. Now look, as long as there's salvation, that name has got to stick. We all know that. Now he said that new name would be revealed under the thunders. He also said, had he right said the right thing talking about names, Son of Man, Son of God, so on, right? He said categorically, and then that would be under the seals. See, under the third pole, using that name. So what I'm trying to get across to you is this, not that I believe. The new name is Son of Man. I'm just telling you this. If you can't get that far, don't even look for a new name. And I'm not trying to be mean with anybody. Because I'm not looking any for anything, period. I'm just staying and waiting where I'm at under Son of Man, knowing the Holy Ghost baptism has literally run out. And we're to the Holy Ghost himself. And that gift that God has given, his Son again in the form of the Holy Ghost, to be crucified unto us. Son of Man, that's the way it is, and he is here. At the head of the church. How he came into manifestation, his business. But I say this, what's coming down the road? And that new name could come when Brother Branham comes back. I don't know. I haven't a clue. But my clue is this from what he is saying here. If we don't understand and have this, forget about a new name. That becomes latter rain kind of stuff. Spiritual leapfrog again, if you want to know, Lloyd. It amounts to. Oh, yeah. I can understand how they do that. It's really ridiculous, isn't it? All right, that's the new paragraph. Now, if you notice the word there, Greek word, I may have this wrong, but the one I could find, you have to watch the word. You see, the English word means double meanings, just like the word we say God. God created the heaven and earth, Genesis 1. But now in the Bible, it said in the beginning, Elohim. Now, Elohim, the English calls God, but it really wasn't Elohim. Anything could be God to the word God. You could make an idol a god. You could make a piano a god. You can make anything a god. That's right, you know, make it your god. In other words, where your prime desire is, what you put your life on. But it isn't so in the word Elohim. It means a self-existing one. It also means, not just that, but it means a strong one bound by an oath. So therefore, every time God has got you at a juncture, bring his word to pass, he comes right down bound by that oath, as we raise his hand, swears, and said, look, this is it. It's being done right today. Okay, so the word Elohim means he that always existed. God can mean anything. See the difference in the word? Now when it's said here that he emptied himself or poured out, now we think like this, that he would vomit out. The English word emptied or poured out. See, went something out of him that was different from him. But the word kenosis in the Greek does not mean that he vomited up or something like that. His arm went off, I went on another person. Now, you see, letting you know, look, it's not another person. That's what Servetus said also. He said, when the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep, he said, we are not expected to believe it was another spirit. It was that one himself that moved, see, one God. That is, he changed himself, he poured himself into. Now you see, the pouring out into human beings is over in this end time. There'll be no more full of the Holy Ghost. This is that hour. And at that hour, you watch what God's going to do with the church. He changed himself, he poured himself into, amen, into another mass. But this he's talking about the incarnation back there, into another form. Not another person went out of him called the Holy Spirit, but it was he himself. You get it? He himself poured himself into the people. Now, he didn't pour himself all in the people. Now, Christ in you, how beautiful. Poured himself into the people. Christ in you, how beautiful. I wonder if we think of it. God pouring himself into human beings, into the believer. Poured out. It was a part of his drama to do so. God, all that God had bodily was in this person, Jesus Christ. It doesn't say it was in the bride. The bride does not become God. No way, shape, and form. He was God and God alone, not a third person or a second person or a first person, the person, God veiled in human flesh. Now he goes on, Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of Godness. But for God, Elohim, capital G-O-D, in the Bible, referred back to anybody, it refers to the original. It said Elohim in the beginning, Elohim, see? And Elohim, without controversy, great is the mystery of Elohim, for Elohim was made flesh and we held him. Now remember, it doesn't say great is the mystery of God, it says great is the mystery of Godness. And yet he's using this in the form of the mystery of God. Because godliness does have to do with God, let's face it. It's an intrinsic quality, an attribute. So that's what we find over there in the book of Revelation 10 and 7. The mystery of God should be finished. He's talking about it. Plus, who's going to do it? A prophet. Now let's watch this. Without contrary, great mystery of Elohim. For Elohim was made flesh and we held him. Elohim veiled in human flesh. The great Jehovah that covered all space, time, and everywhere was made man. We handled him, Elohim, in the beginning Elohim, and Elohim was made flesh, dwelt among us. All right, now you just keep that in mind for what we've been reading, going back in the back here. What? This is his way, the parts of his drama. That's the way he's to act it out, his way of revealing himself to us as some different person. We are mortal, and he knows that. And we only understand as mortal. We only know as mortal. We only know as our senses will let us, and the rest of it we have to believe by faith. In other words, you can get so far even here, and you're going to have to take your rest by faith. You might not understand, I might not. But we understand an unveiling has been going on. The apocalypse has been taking place. And through the appearing. And remember, not only in signs and wonders, but he himself is taken by two pictures. See? Can't get away with it. And who's back of it all? God with a prophet. Now, we have to say there is a God, whether we see him or not. We believe it anyhow. See? Whether there is or not, we still believe it because God said so. Now, that's like a malaprop of some kind there because, something like, how can I yump when I got nothing to stood on? If there isn't any God, how's he going to talk to some? It's a little bit twisted, but you get the point here. There is a God, and man had better begin to be responsible. Like Abraham could not see that son. No sign, no pregnancy of Sarah. Not even any menstrual period or anything. But yet God said so. All hope. Even her womb was dead and his life in him was gone. And the stream of his life had dried up. And her life had dried up within her. And yet he staggered not at the promise of God's unbelief, but was strong giving praise, knowing that God was able to perform anything he said he would do. That's the way we got to believe that word today. How is it going to be? I don't know. God said it's going to be that way, and that settles it. Now he's talking about the unveiling of the mighty God. He's talking about the appearing. He's talking about you and I have an understanding. He's bringing this about Abraham, just before the promised son came. How is it all going to come? We don't know how all things are going to take place. We don't have every single answer. As though we can analyze and put it in a cute little cubicle and say, hey, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But you believe it. Because it's going to come to pass anyway. It's just like in Abraham's day. Who is this great unseen person? Who is this that Abraham saw in visions right at last, though he was manifested in the flesh before the sun came? God himself came to Abraham in the form of a man at the end time, manifested. He saw him in a little light one time. He saw him in visions. He heard his voice, many revelations. But just before the promised son, he saw him in the form of a man and talked to him and fed him meat and drink. See, notice, God himself veiled in human flesh. What was that? The incarnation. What's the next thought? Hebrews 1 and 1, God in the prophets, period. That was a part of his way. This is the way he manifests himself to us. Manifests the eternal word, God Jehovah made flesh. Like in John 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and in the beginning was Elohim. And Elohim became the Word. And the Word was Elohim. And the Word was made Elohim. Now, you know, that sounds kind of funny. Sounds like he got things backwards. But I don't think he did. Because Jesus went back to being a spirit form. In a pillar of fire, there's your Elohim again, from Logos. The Logos became flesh, but now not the pillar of fire. Back to Elohim, that's what it was. But just before the destruction, remember, God used a human form. And that's the thing people don't like is God and the prophets, because they think it takes something from Jesus. They think the prophet's trying to make himself somebody. They think it denigrates God. It doesn't. It glorifies God, because that's God's way of doing it. Jesus had his run in because he was a man. Thou man maketh thyself God. Get out of here. We'll crucify him. So they did. The word is made Elohim. See, it's the same thing, just unfolding. Unfolding is the word. Like the attribute, see, it is in God. An attribute is your thought. God in the beginning, the eternal. He wasn't even a God. He was the eternal. He wasn't even God. God's an object of worship or something. See? See, he wasn't even that. He was Elohim, the eternal. But in him were thoughts. He wanted to become material. What did he do? Then he spoke a word, and the word is materialized. That's the whole picture from Genesis to Revelation. There's nothing wrong. It's Elohim materializing so he can be touched, spelled. And in the millennium, there'll be Elohim sitting on the throne. Who is that? That's Son of David. But he's not Son of David now. Although he is Son of David. Elohim's Elohim. Everything's an Elohim. Your life, your breath. Every time a flea bats its eye. Billions and billions and trillions. Every different snowflake. Trillions of tons. Everyone different. Every leaf and every tree different. Elohim. The millennium, there's Elohim sitting on the throne. See, that's right, with all these subjects around him. And he predestinated before the foundation of the world. That he predestined before the foundation of the world. See? When's that going to happen? When the spirit that's in the midst of us becomes incarnated to us. Like a man building chimes or making chimes, the molder. Each bell got to ring different from the other. The same material, but so much iron, steel, brass, to make it give the ting, you know, the sound. That's the way God did. He bred this one to that one, to this one, to that one, to this one, that one, till he got exactly what he wanted. That's how he came down. Sure. That's how he got the body he wanted through the chemical factory processes. See? That's how he came down. God unveiled himself in a pillar of fire down through the prophets. Then into the Son of God, which he was God. Sure. Sure he was. He's just God with flesh. Not the flesh, it's God. That's what counts. See, the same God bringing out exactly from perfection, from glory to glory, that's the way the church goes. So, the revelation is going to take the church from glory to glory. What a glory this will be. Luther's glory faded. Wesley's faded. Pentecost faded. This will not fade. This is going to bring, literally, an immortal people to meet the immortal God in the air. He'll be incarnated to us. The church is going right on. From revelation to revelation. Clouds of glory. Notice, through the ages the same way by his prophet. Notice, through the ages the same way by his prophet. Not he himself the prophet. although that's true, by his prophet. He has revealed himself. How? By his prophet. They weren't exactly prophets, they were gods. That's right. For he said so. For what they spoke was God's word. They were the flesh that God was veiled in. They were gods. Jesus said himself, how can you condemn me when I say I'm the Son of God, and your own law says that they to whom the word of the Lord comes, they're gods. See? So it was God formed in a man called a prophet. And the word of the Lord came to this man, so it wasn't the prophet. The prophet was the veil, but the word was God. The man's word won't act like that. Now that's the prophet or God in human flesh. When he says it and it happens and man can't do it. Now that's God manifested in flesh. That's the word living itself amongst us. That is the Son of Man revealed. Now he is the Son of Man. And he's been revealed. And this is that key that people don't want. See? So therefore, as I said a while ago, and two messages now concerning this, and we'll quit with this, that you and I don't understand everything about Godhead per se is not the point. Because we might not understand everything. It could boggle our minds. But that we understand that he has been revealed. And we're in it this much and perfectly in it that much. We'll make it. But as Brother Brand said to Billy Paul, signifying a much greater amount, they can be that much and miss it. Because they get messed up on who Brother Branham is and who God is. And when you make Brother Branham God, except to the people, in the form of a representative, you are way off your beat. See, you can't do it. Now, the man's word won't act like that. See what I mean? It cannot act in that manner. But potentially, it was God. Now, Brother Branham said potentially means it's not the real thing, but it's coming to it. Sure, going to bring us right to him. See, he was that word of God in the form of a man, called a man, that Jesus was back there. Notice, he never changed his nature, only his form, Hebrews 13:8. The same yesterday and ever, so that he did not change his nature when he came. He is always that prophet, all down through the age, same thing, the word, the word, the word, the word. See, he cannot change his nature. But he changed his form. Hebrews 13:8. He's the same yesterday, day, and forever. He changed his mask. What was his mask in this hour? William Branham, Elijah, prophet of God. But the word was God. It wasn't William Branham. That's not William Branham, but William Branham. That's making the son his own father. Come on, man. That's paganism. That's some kind of ridiculous suppositions or heaven knows what. See? Like I've changed from husband when my child is born, then I'm father. When my grandchild's born, I'm grandfather. See, but I don't change. It's still me, see? That's God. See, it just changed your form, see? Now, and nature changes it down from young man, middle-aged man, old man. And there you are, see, you just change your form. And the same time, you change your role. So therefore, what God is doing in the manifestation, juncture periods, isn't that? Is it for a purpose? And it's being acted out. Now, what's being acted out? He has to come and fulfill to the Gentiles what he said he would do. He's got to appear. So therefore we see it. Now, you say, can I sit in the safety of that ark? That's what the prophet said, or I don't know what he said. He brought us into the third pole, the seven seals, the seven thunders, brought us right down to the presence, the whole thing. What more do you want for your, for your good of your spiritual health? I'll tell you one thing, you add to it, you lose your spiritual health. You take from it, you drop this as dead. So let's be very content with where we stand. Not say like some foolishly, well, I knew the prophet. How well did you know him? I said, some were piping up how that William Branham was God. And Bank Wood said, well, he said, if he's God, it sure didn't rub off on you the way you live. You know, you do get kind of tired of some people once in a while. Not that you should get tired. But anyway, that's enough for tonight. Let me see. I want to fold my page down here and put the date. And see, it's over a full hour now. And a full hour is plenty of time. I'm a little bit weary. But it's all right. Sunday morning will continue. I don't like taking too much Wednesday nights anyway, because, you know, people miss too much anyway. All right, right here. This is the 25th, isn't it?
Something like that.
All right. Shall we rise at this time? Gracious and eternal Heavenly Father, we again, Lord, look tonight and think in our hearts what we have looked at and say, and are beginning, Lord, a little bit hopefully to say when the prophet preached the seals and he said, my, I didn't know how simple it was. And now we're getting to the place where we can begin to see a little simplicity. We thank you for it, gracious Heavenly Father, that you've opened our eyes to this simplistic truth and laid it down. It's been all through your word, God in the prophets. And you have manifested yourself, Lord, and revealed yourself, and we believe you're here right now in the form of the pillar of fire, the head of the church to raise the dead and take us right into the millennium. And at that time, Lord, when you take us up, you will incarnate yourself into that wonderful body that was prepared and you indwelt and once more will dwell in. And then we'll crown you King of Kings and Lord of Lords and come back and reign upon the earth where you will be the Son of David. And all these things, Lord, are very beautiful and we're very happy with them because we see you revealed as you are the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we appreciate that so much to know that you have helped us this far, and we believe, Lord, you'll help us all the way. Now, humble us all down, meeken us all down, Lord, just bring us right down to the place of a sweetness and a kindness and a lovely temper amongst us and a sweet spirit, O God, of just loving you and loving each other and just going on serving you humbly and sweetly, day by day, Lord, putting the dross and the things aside as the Holy Spirit helps melt them out of our heart, and the real jewels, Lord, begin forming, like you know, Lord, you said faith and virtue and knowledge and godliness and temperance and all these lovely things coming right up, Lord, where you yourself just are taking over our lives and have taken our lives. Lord, we believe for that too, and we believe for a simplicity. It's all been so simple, Lord, we believe this will be too. So help us tonight, Lord, to be simple, to be like children, that we might inherit the kingdom of God. Be with each one tonight, Lord, every home here. And we just pray, Father, that the sick amongst us be healed. I look for help myself, and I thank you so much for your help, Lord. Appreciate it very, very much. Look for my wife, and I don't stop the other. Look for other people in the country round about us and everyone here, Lord. Just love to see everyone in that condition of health, because then, oh, God, we know something's really going to take place. That sweet spirit come amongst us, Lord, and not one be feeble, not one be sick, no siree. And the prophet paid that so many times, Lord, I know there's something to it, there's something in it. And we know it's going to be very, very simple, just walking into it. Just like we're walking into this now and seeing the beauty of the simplicity of God unfold. Now, if we cannot praise enough, but though we might attempt, Lord, we know we'll never do it, but accept our praise tonight and just encourage us, and we know you will, and help us to encourage each other until we rise to meet our lovely one in the air. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen. Let's just sing, Take the Name of Jesus with you.